I just want to start out with, when I went to college, I was as excited about one thing more than anything else. Can anybody guess what that was? Girls. More importantly, Christian girls. I was so excited to get on campus because when my high school, a small school, there were 9 of my graduating class, a very small selection, you could say. But I didn't know of any of them that were running after Jesus, and so I wouldn't say I was necessarily picky, but I didn't pursue girls that didn't have at least a Christian or a faith in Jesus anyway. And I was so excited to go to college. I was like, there's going to be Christian girls here. They're going to love Jesus. They're going to be. And I got on campus and I arrived with my eyes ready to explore all the options. And to be honest, there'll be a picture up here. The young lady who became my wife is the one that caught my attention first. That was our first, I believe that's our first picture taken together. We weren't dating. She wouldn't allow it. She kind of resisted a relationship for a while, and she came to her senses about a year later. And she asked me out for my birthday, my 20th birthday, and so we've been dating for almost 21 years now. And so and there's another one going to be up here. This is our wedding picture. And yeah, that's a long time ago. And I share those pictures because just kind of gives you a little snapshot of what we used to look like and what we are now 20 years later. And not much has changed. I don't know. We had a lot of hopes and dreams as a young couple. You get married and your eyes are all stars and everything's good. And we had plans. We had 1 year of college left and we're like, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to wait 5 years before we have kids. We're going to get adjusted. We're going to get through college. We're going to pay off our student loans as quick as we could. And we did that 3 years out of college. Our student loans were paid for. And we were like, okay, it's about time to start a family, and we were excited, and God blessed us, and I know not every couple has this blessing, but it wasn't hard for us to get pregnant. Christy got pregnant, but what was hard for us was keeping those pregnancies. We think we had a miscarriage right when we were in college. We weren't sure, but that one we were so uncertain, and it was almost a relief if it was that we were so young and so much whatever. But the second one was hard. We were trying to have a family, and we happened to be vacationing in Texas with a couple from the church we were at in Minnesota, and we had just found out. She had just taken a test. She had just told me before vacation, and you had the excitement, first baby, first kid, first whatever, and there were complications on that vacation, and she lost that child, and it was hard. It was hopes. It was dreams. We had been thinking and planning, and those struggles come, and you ask God why. You ask God why. Why did we even get pregnant if you knew this was going to be a miscarriage? Why did this happen? Why did we get excited to just kind of have those dreams squashing? It's not the only thing in life I've asked God why about. It's not the only hurt I've had, not the only disappointment I've had. It's not the only struggle. But we ask God that question, why, don't we? Why this life-altering event or situation? Why this hurt? Why this pain? Why this struggle? Why this storm? Why this, God? Why now, of all times? And I know that we're not alone in this, and you could all have stories to share about your disappointments and your wanting to ask God why. But my hope today is that through what we're going to look at in Scripture is that we may come up with possibly an answer to that question, God, why? Why this struggle? Why this hurt? And God has a design for it. It's hard to see in the midst of it. And sometimes it's hard to see even after it. But Scripture can show us, and I believe shows us, that God makes this an opportunity for Him to shine. And that is what he is concerned about. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 9. And if you've been in church a while, you're familiar with this story. But we're going to read John chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. And it says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so that the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out all the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Now the disciples asked Jesus a question they were hoping to get some insight from. It was a man who was struggling, and like you maybe get kids ask that question, why is that person like that, or why did that happen? The disciples saw a blind man, and there had to have been a reason why he was blind. Either his parents screwed up or he screwed up, and there was a consequence. But Jesus said, it's neither. It's neither. Sure, I'm sure he had made bad choices. I'm sure his parents had made bad choices. But it was neither. It was for a God reason. It was so that God could be seen, so that the power of God could be seen in him. And we ask this, and this might be some of your questions. We ask why this or that happens. We ask, why did I have to have a father who abused me? Why do I struggle with my weight? Why do I have that one family member that drives me crazy? Why cancer? Why death? Why disappointments? Why hurtful words? Why struggle? Why temptation? Why storm? Why trial? And we hope for an answer. We hope for understanding. We hope for someone or something to blame, possibly. We hope for a good reason so that we can make sense of the situation. But Jesus didn't give them the answer they were looking for. The man's condition wasn't because of him, and it wasn't because of his parents. It was because the power of God wanted an opportunity to be seen. And so that God could be on display, so that his power could be revealed, so that Jesus could be reflected from the situation, and so that God could get attention. God desires to show and reflect his power in and through us, and what better way than to be strong when we are weak? Through every trial, temptation, struggle, he desires to display his power to us and to the people around us. God tells us that he loves us and he gave us his only son. And that was to show us, you and me, that even in our loneliest and darkest hours, we can have someone to count on. I'm going to have you turn to, if you got your Bibles, you can turn to Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 5. It says, we can rejoice too that when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. I don't really love it that God gives us trials and temptations, but I love the fact that he's trying to help us to develop. It's like a parent when you see your child struggling with something, you just don't run up and fix it for them, but you say, you can do this. You can make it. Maybe you give them the right tool or a suggestion that they haven't thought of yet or something, and you help them get over that hump in some way. But God wants us to develop into people that can be used for great things, I believe. It seems backwards, but I believe it's us who have it backwards much of the time. I don't want to rejoice when life gets hard. Honestly, sometimes I want to sulk. I want to complain. I want to be disappointed. I want to be upset. I want to be angry at somebody. Am I the only one? I saw Nick raise his hand. I seen him sulk. No, I'm kidding. But we're instructed and encouraged to see our problems and hardships differently. The why to many of the things that happen in our lives is for our benefit. And it's hard to see that in the midst of it, isn't it? to see that God's got a better plan, a better purpose, something he wants to develop in us that can't be developed any other way. God is working on our development as the struggles we face are actually there to make us stronger, to make your faith stronger in God, to have a stronger understanding of his power and might, to have a stronger belief in his provision that God can provide, he can be counted on. He's not going to run out of whatever you need. To have a stronger understanding and a compassion for others. You maybe wouldn't have a compassion for someone if you hadn't gone through it yourself, made it through it and have a story to share or some strength that was gained because of it. Your scars can be used as a story of what you made it through. You can have a stronger testimony for Jesus. People like to use the phrase, whatever doesn't make you bitter can make you better, or something along that lines. And today I want to encourage you, don't get bitter about the things you're facing, but let those struggles make you better. Now, I know this is easier said than done, like a lot of things in life, right? When I was growing up, I believe it was around fifth grade, our house burned down. It was a cold, windy February morning. I was in school, my younger brother and I were in school, and my uncle came to get my younger brother and I out of class and told us that our house had burned down. I thought he was joking. This was an uncle that liked to kid around and joke. And I thought, oh, he's just pulling our leg. But until my mom came around the corner of the hallway and her eyes were red. And we got out of school that day and went to see what was remaining of the ashes of our house. And it was difficult. And luckily, we had family in the area. We stayed with my grandparents for about a month, where they had rooms for my brothers and I and my parents to stay. And that first night, the people of our communities, surrounding communities, a small town of 350 and towns surrounding, brought us clothes and supplies and towels and kitchenware and things like that. And it was an incredible, it was amazing. And we had so many clothes, my brothers and I, we had choices for school the next day of what to wear. And it was hard for our family, but God showed that he can provide. He can meet our needs. I also learned some other things through this tragedy. And one is that the things we have aren't the treasures, the people we have are. And without a struggle like that, it's hard to realize that, especially as a fifth grader. You know, what would it have been like had my mother, who had, she had a beauty shop in one corner of the basement, and she was fixing two ladies' hair that morning. What would have happened had her life and these women's lives been taken? That would have been a treasure lost. You know, and so it taught me some things. It also taught me something that I ended up using. I was on call as a chaplain for the sheriff's office in Minnesota, where we lived. We'd do on call for a week, and you'd get called to difficult situations if the sheriff needed some chaplain assistance. And I got called to a house fire one morning. And I drove out there as quick as I could, and I prayed with the mom and dad, and they had three kids, and they had a mobile home, and it was gone. It was torched. There was just a few remains left. And my experience kicked into play. I prayed with them. I talked with them. And within a few days, I had met with a bank. Nobody asked me to do this. Nobody, my pastor didn't encourage me to do this. They didn't ask for it. But I met with a bank to set up an account where funds could be sent. I wrote a letter outlining the kids' ages and sizes and different things that they could use. And I hand-delivered those letters to churches in our area. And I went about. Would I have done that had I not gone through this? I don't think I would have. But it was because God did something in my life through the people around our family that God taught me something. That was a hard time for our family, and yet good came out of it. And that's a verse we can count on. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work for the good to those who love him and have been called according to his purpose." purpose. You know, I first heard this verse. I'd read it a few times, but this verse came alive to me when I was a youth pastor in Minnesota. We had an older lady in our church. I was taken to the hospital, and I went to visit her. And I said, "Delia, do you have a favorite verse?" And without thinking, without a hesitation, she said Romans 8:28, and went on to quote it. She's in the hospital, and she's ready to quote her favorite verse. "For God works all things for the good to those who love me, who have been called according to his purpose." And we can count on that. This verse should be a verse you should memorize, because in hard times, you got to say it. For God works all things for the good. All things for the good. Not some things. All things for the good. The struggle of the man that Jesus and the disciples encountered happened so that Jesus could be seen. It happened so that Jesus could do a miracle before his disciples and the people around him. It happened for a God reason, so that Jesus could be seen. Have the difficulties and storms you face given Jesus an opportunity to be seen? There's three quick things I just want to share that can be shown or revealed when we partner with God to get through our struggles. These aren't the only things that God can show or reveal, but there are three things that as I was preparing this and reading that came to light. Number one is grace. When we receive it, people can see it. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most." Grace is going to be there when you need it. God wants to extend it to us. It's not there when you deserve it. Not there when you earn it. It's there when you need it. And that's what our God wants to do for us. He wants to, that grace strengthens us when we're weak. It gives us hope when there's not hope at all. It gives you joy when you want to sit in a corner and cry, maybe suck your thumb like a little child. It gives you joy despite those things. Number two, it can give you joy that even in our trials and sufferings, all is not lost because his power or his purpose is deeper and his plans go beyond the day-to-day struggles that we come against. James tells us in chapter 1, he says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." I think he's screwed up right here. That doesn't make sense. "For we know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." Consider it an opportunity for great joy when troubles come your way. I would say, what kind of Kool-Aid are you drinking? It doesn't make sense. I don't want an opportunity for great joy in the midst of my struggles. And I want to say some of us in this room are closer to being perfect than others. Because of what you've gone through, because of what you face, God has done some things in your lives when you've allowed him to shine through. You're not the same person you once were. Because I believe once you grab his hand, you trust him, you follow him, you change. Your life is somehow transformed. And I love the fact that when I've heard several of your stories, you're not the same person as you were when you were younger. And that's a testament to holding on to God and that he can work all things for the good. Now, some of us younger people, and I put myself in that boat, I look at older ones and I wish I'd have some of the characteristics that you possess. Some of the things that you have in your life. And we don't mean that that what you went through to be where you are so that you could be the character you are, because some of you have turned into characters in a good way. But I mean that the character you have. You have something because of what you went through, because you trusted God through it, because you had faith in Jesus and held on. No matter how hard it got, you wouldn't let go of the ropes. And God has done something in your life that people can notice, that people can see, and that people can try to emulate in some way. Say, I wish I had what he had. I wish I had what she had. You wish. Most of us probably wish we won't go through what they went through to get that, though, and what they persevered through. Many troubles seem like great opportunities to me for frustration, for worry, for anger, for resentment. But James tells us that it's an opportunity for joy. Comes back to whether we're going to trust Jesus with whatever we're going through. Let our troubles develop in us a Christ-likeness in what God is after. That is how we're going to grow, mature, and develop into strong followers. And lastly, what he can reveal is love. Love can be seen, and The verse that came to my mind is because it's the example Jesus set, John 15:13. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for his friends. Jesus set the example. Jesus showed it. And I think Jesus' last day or so on earth was lonely. You think about it. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and his disciples fell asleep with him. They stayed, and he came and told them many times, could you not just tarry with me? Could you not just stay awake for a little while? And they fell asleep a few times. And then the Judas brings the soldiers to come and to arrest Jesus, and several of them flee at that moment. Some stay and are by his side to try to fight the soldiers, but he ends up being taken away by himself. Some follow from a distance, but Jesus is brought to trial alone. He's flogged and whipped alone. He carries his cross without any of his followers there to support him, to encourage him, to be there with him. A man was pulled out of the crowd to help him carry the cross, but it wasn't one of his followers. It was somebody who was in Jerusalem. And then the disciples, some of them stood off from afar to watch as he was being hung on the cross. Jesus, from the cross, yells out to the Father, "Why have you forsaken me?" Is that not a lonely hour, a lonely moment, a lonely day or two of his life? And that's how our God loved us. And you know what? Through that example, salvation was made available. Through our Jesus loving and caring us, God is seen, his power is seen, because what happened 3 days later? He rose from the dead. Life was extended, and God is seen. And so we ask these things, why does this happen? Why is this hurt? Why is this heartache? Why is this storm? Why is this difficulty? Why is this thorn in my flesh here? And we may never get the answers, but I want you to leave here today considering, what may God want to be doing in and through my life? What may God want to be developing? What may God want to be revealing to the people around me, to my family members who are not following Jesus? What does he want to do to my neighbors who don't follow Jesus? What does he want to do to my coworkers, where he can use my story to somehow encourage them, to give them hope for what they're going through? People, we have Jesus. We have hope. If they don't have Jesus, they have no hope. We have an opportunity for shine. Grace, joy, and love are just three ways Jesus can be seen and revealed through our trials, our struggles, our storms that we go through. When we go through hardships, holding the hand of God and trusting him through it all, we give an opportunity to show his power, to show his wisdom, to show his love, his grace, his joy, and the life that he can bring to others. I'm going to have the worship team come on back as we close, but I know that I haven't always given Jesus an opportunity to shine, to be revealed, to show his awesome power. In fact, I've blown it. I have screwed a lot of those opportunities up. I've missed them. In fact, I've done damage instead of good. And I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm in good company of people that are in the process of growing in their faith, becoming mature, wanting to shine for Jesus, because it takes boldness, it takes courage, it takes strength that you don't have, and that's why we got to depend on him. But I believe we can leave today with the determination to handle the tough moments of our life differently. We can look at our hardships and as opportunities for Jesus to shine. And I believe it's a mindset. It's a belief. It's a trust. It's a decision that you make and that I make. We can begin answering the why to our struggles with, I'm going to partner with God to give him an opportunity to show himself to those around me. Why? So that the power of God can be seen in me and through you. Why? I don't know, but God's up to something. I don't know, but I know my God is at work. I don't know, but I know God works all things for the good. Today, some of you are in the midst of a struggle and storm, and it's okay to recognize that, and it's okay to identify that, and I encourage you to determine with this storm, this struggle that you're in, that you're going to today and every day forward until you're through it or you're past it or whatever, that you grab God's hand, you trust him with it, and you keep going, because God's telling a story through you that people are seeing, your children are seeing, your grandkids are seeing, your great-grandkids are seeing, your neighbors are seeing, your coworkers are seeing. It's through us. Most people aren't going to pick up one of these and read it, but they see us. And through our struggles, through our difficulties, what are they seeing? Are they seeing people that trust God, that have grabbed his hand and says, "This sucks right now, but I've got God's hand and I'm going to get through this. I'm going to make it. And in the process, I'm going to be better because of it." And somebody's life can be touched because of it. that my fire situation turned into blessing a family down the road. We don't know how far down the road your story, your circumstance may go, but it can touch somebody when you allow God to use your struggle to display and to show his power. Let's stand together. We're going to have the worship team, or the worship team's up. Going to have the prayer gentlemen to come on up and to be ready to pray with people. If you've got needs today, we want to pray with you. We want to believe in God for an answer to what you're going through, a touch from heaven. And so don't ever be embarrassed that you need prayer. We all need prayer from time to time. We're human. We have needs. We have struggles. We have difficulties. But we can always grab onto our God's hand, and we can partner with him to get through it. But leave here with the determination. Seal something in your heart that you're going to let your hard times allow God to shine through them. You're going to say, God, I don't understand. I don't want to go through this. I'm angry. I'm upset. But God, would you help me understand? Would you help me get through this so that I don't blow an opportunity, but I gain an opportunity to show you to others? Let's bow our heads and pray. And you're free to leave whenever you're ready, but we have another worship time. We have a prayer time, and I encourage you to engage in that time.